WGSC 90.7 FM, Eastern Hudson, Taxdale.
Common Ground is a private, not-for-profit organization offering dispute resolution services to the people in Columbia and Greene counties. Common Ground provides trained mediators who work to resolve the differences between two or more participants on issues including family, housing, business, workplace, school, and neighborhood disputes. The mediation process is informal, private, confidential, and voluntary. For more information, please contact Common Ground at 518-943-0523 or on our website www.commongroundinc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alex Benson of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM. Listener-aided and abetted radio.
Where do you go? Donald, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater. No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make-believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater. So let's
pull the curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
I learned a lot from Richard Nixon.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie. I'm sorry.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
I'll be
on your wall of lies, but it's coming down. Yeah, it's coming down. You're a man without shame, without dignity and grace. No way to save face. You're a man without a soul.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
That is just not going to happen because it's such a highly transmissible virus.
Through an incredible amount of work by the federal government, we have a big, big, beautiful overcapacity.
We're going in the right direction, but the right direction does not mean we have by any means total control of this outbreak.
They have a very low mortality rate like we do. We have a low mortality rate also.
The number of deaths are likely higher than that number.
The people aren't going to stand for it. They want to get back. They're not going to stand for it. They want our country open. I want our country open.
There is a real risk that you will trigger an outbreak that you may not be able to control.
If Barack Obama was the president of the United States, this would not have happened. We would have had competent professional people. We would have had someone like Ron Klain in charge of it, not the Confederacy of dunces that we see running around the West Wing.
So Barack Obama, okay, the failed president, and his Sleepy Joe vice president, they had H1N1. Remember H1N1? I like the N-word, but they had H1N1. And they lost 12,000 people. That's it, 12,000 great Americans lost to this horrible virus. On the other hand, we're doing a tremendous job with the COVID, the invisible enemy, trademark pending. We've got 80K. We're up to 80K. Okay, that's a great thing because it's closing in on our 401K. Remember 401K? It's one of our great investments. So we're going, like, so well. We're going to have a 401K soon. We're at 80K. We're going to be at 401K. But Obama and Sleepy Joe. I call it Obamagate, okay? I call it the Obamagate. And they lost 12,000 people, and that's so much worse because we're doing such a great job with 80K, soon to be a 401K. We'll see what happens.
And our country has been incredible. And you see the numbers are dropping very substantially. The numbers are coming down very rapidly all throughout the country.
That's not true. And a new previously undisclosed report from the president's task force reveals that is not true. Hours after the president made that claim that cases are on the decline, NBC News obtained a White House report that COVID-19 cases are indeed spiking in heartland communities across our country.
What you've seen in the task force's own reporting about what's going on in the country is that there are surges, little brush fires all over this country right now as the president is going out and telling folks that all over the country the numbers are subsiding. He's telling a story that is absolutely at odds with what administration officials, even working on his own task force, even his own appointees are finding.
We have to get our country open, and we have to get it open soon.
That's me and Corona. That's me in the spot. Like abusing my position, trying to blame Chinese flu, and I don't care if you have caught it. Oh no, I said too much. F***ed up. I thought that I heard you coughing. I thought that I heard you wheeze. I think I let the old folks die.
We can't keep our country closed. We have to open our country.
One of the things about this virus is that it doesn't care who you are or whether you believe the virus is worth staying inside for. You could still catch it. Case in point, we learned today that one of Trump's personal valets has tested positive for coronavirus. Well, maybe this will help the president understand how scary it is for the average American when one of their personal valets tests positive. Now, the president's fine, but this was a risk, given that Trump's valets do not wear masks, and the valet who tested positive works in the West Wing and serves the president his meals.
Metaphorically, you're sitting here. He's desperately trying to run away from the virus, turn the page, focus on the economy. And almost in like some sort of like evil movie script, the virus is going, oh, no, you don't, Mr. President. I'm coming inside your house.
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to slice you up.
Who is this?
I'm going to chop you like liver.
What do you want?
I'm in the house.
Mr. President, the virus is calling from inside the house. Get out of there. Then on Friday, we found out that Katie Miller, the spokeswoman for Vice President Mike Pence, tested positive. This is super serious. Katie Miller has attended nearly all of the White House coronavirus task force meetings in the Situation Room, which they've now temporarily rechristened the incubation room.
CBS News has learned a personal assistant to Ivanka Trump has tested positive. The Secret Service has also acknowledged COVID cases in its ranks, and a member of the president's military valet was recently diagnosed.
Plus, three of the most high-profile members of the coronavirus task force, including Anthony Fauci, will be in self-quarantine for 2 weeks. No! Dr. Fauci, we need you! If you're not around, all the health decisions are going to be made by Jared Kushner, the MyPillow guy, and William Barr in a sexy nurse costume. Now, some White House officials are getting worried, like economic advisor to the president, Kevin Hassett. On Sunday, Hassett said this on CBS's Nation Face.
It is scary to go to work. You know, I was not part of the White House in March. I think that I'd be a lot safer if I was sitting at home than I would be going to the West Wing.
Really? You work in the most tested place in the world and you're scared? Hey, I've got a spooky story for you. You're driving on the highway late at night when suddenly a hideous old man rises up in your back seat and says, "You should go back to your job at the meatpacking plant. Donnie want burger." Upon learning that Miller was infected, Trump said this about tests.
So she tested positive out of the blue. This is why the whole concept of tests aren't necessarily great. The tests are perfect, but something can happen between a test where it's good and then something happens and all of a sudden she was tested very recently and tested negative. And then today, I guess, for some reason, she tested positive.
In the history of dumb things said by Donald Trump, and remember, there will one day be a library filled with them. That might be the dumbest thing he's ever said. Putting it in the running for the dumbest thing ever spoken by man. She was tested and didn't have it. Then she got it. Then the next test showed that she had it. Does Trump think the tests are good only if they tell you news you want to hear? My girlfriend took a pregnancy test. It said she wasn't pregnant. Then we had a bunch of sex. Then for some reason, all of a sudden, the test says she's having a baby. That's why these tests aren't so great. The test really should start wearing a condom. The president was reportedly pretty upset. A White House source said that news that someone close to Trump had tested positive for coronavirus was hitting the fan in the West Wing. Luckily, the White House fan is so caked with poop at this point, it no longer spins. Now, this news is inconvenient for the president, because it gets in the way of Trump's core message that we've got to open up the country as fast as we can. And to that end, the CDC has actually already prepared a detailed document with step-by-step advice to local authorities on how and when to reopen. But the administration has shelved the document. It's just another part of the president's long-running campaign, The Less You Know. The report was supposed to come out last Friday, but then the White House told the CDC scientists that the guidance, quote, would never see the light of day. No, because it's damaging to me politically. Plus, if you want to fight coronavirus, we all know that light of day has to go inside of you, okay? It's called boofing sunshine. I'm boofing on sunshine. Whoa! Trump might want to get rid of his own White House's guidelines, too, because most states that are reopening fail to meet White House guidelines, and in more than half of the states, case counts are trending upward, positive test results are rising, or both. There's one group that Trump is really worried about because in a recent poll, Joe Biden held a 10-point advantage over Trump among voters who are 65 and older. Huh. So I guess old people aren't inspired by Trump's message of, to appease the wrathful gods of Wall Street, I will build a pyramid of your ancient bones. To make himself feel better, this afternoon, Trump had a press briefing in the Rose Garden, and he got it going with one of his classic lies.
As far as Americans getting a test, they should all be able to get a test right now. They should be able to get a test. If somebody wants to be tested right now, they'll be able to be tested.
Okay, that's not true. A lot of people want a test, but they can't get one because they don't play in the NBA or aren't a tiger in the Bronx Zoo. So if you want a test, you got to work on your three-pointer or eat a raw gazelle. Then one reporter asked why the people around Trump can all get tests when many Americans can't.
There does seem to be a double standard here, Mr. President, where members of your own staff can get tests frequently when they need it, but ordinary Americans cannot. So when will the rest of America have the same access that members of your own White House have to testing?
And you know what? If we didn't get the tests, if we did no tests in the White House, you'd be up complaining, why aren't you getting tests for the White House? See, we can't win because if we didn't get the test, you'd be up. I understand you very well, better than you understand yourself.
I understand you better than you understand yourself because I am more you than you are you. And believe me, as you, I'm so mad at me about the way I am treating you, me.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany was asked why ordinary Americans don't deserve the same access to testing that government officials and corporate executives get, and she mocked the idea of widespread testing as absurd.
She said at Honeywell, the president was told by the folks at Honeywell, as was the team, that they didn't need to wear masks. The reason he was told that is because the people who would be interacting with him had all been tested and had been shown to be negative before that took place, I guess. So the president had those circumstances. Obviously, he's the president. But why shouldn't all Americans who go back to work be able to get a test before they do to feel comfortable in their own work environment to be interacting with other individuals?
Yeah, well, let's dismiss a myth about tests right now. If we tested every single American in this country at this moment, we'd have to retest them an hour later and then an hour later after that, because at any moment you could theoretically contract this virus. So the notion that everyone needs to be tested is just simply nonsensical.
Oh, good point. Maybe we should also stop providing food, too, because people will eat a meal and then 4 hours later they're just going to need another meal. Or under quarantine 20 minutes later. But listen to what she's saying there. She's saying you don't need to be tested to go back to work, but the president and everyone around him need to get tested so he can go back to work safely and freely engage in all his favorite hobbies like shaking hands and touching his face, coughing onto other people, and licking chip dust off doorknobs. There's so many Cheetos. There's a real Cheeto vibe from the doorknob. That's what this is all about. They just want to protect themselves while telling you that you need to be a warrior and get back out there to get the economy going. Virus be damned. They're all Billy Zane from Titanic, shoving themselves through the crowd to get onto a lifeboat while the rest of us float in frigid waters and cling to a door that Rose probably could have let us sit on because, you know, there's clearly enough room. The point is, they're looking out for themselves, not you. That's why they're testing themselves and stuffing bailout money into the pockets of big corporations and the wealthy. In fact, today, it was reported that the CDC had even written guidelines for safely reopening, but the White House buried them. The Trump administration has shelved the document created by the nation's top disease investigators with step-by-step advice to local authorities on how and when to reopen restaurants and other public places during the still-raging coronavirus outbreak. That's right, the CDC wrote a plan for safely reopening the economy, and the Trump administration covered it up. In fact, Trump even said this week he doesn't think we need that much testing in order to get people back into the workforce safely.
Look, we have so much testing. I don't think you need that kind of testing and that much testing, but some people disagree with me and some people agree with me.
No, no one agrees with you. I haven't seen one public health official say, you know what, testing is overrated. The importance of widespread testing is like the one thing they all agree on. So Trump doesn't think we need that much testing, or at least he doesn't think you need that much testing. He and everyone around him, of course, have a completely different standard.
Everybody traveling has been tested. We have great testing, and literally they've been tested over the last hour. And the test result comes back in 5 minutes. We have great testing, or they wouldn't be allowed to travel with me. So they're all tested. Everybody traveling on the plane.
Oh, I see. So ordinary Americans being forced back to work can't get tested, but you and everyone around you can. And look, I get that he's the president. He's going to get tested before everyone else. But the point is not that the president shouldn't get tested. It's that if he wants to force working people back into the economy prematurely in the middle of a deadly pandemic, he should make sure everyone else can get tested too. But Trump doesn't actually care about that. In fact, he went to the Honeywell factory without a mask to create the illusion that everything is fine and we can all get back to normal.
This is going to go away without a vaccine. It's going to go away, and we're not going to see it again, hopefully, after a period of time. You may have some flare-ups, and I guess, you know, I would expect that. Sometime in the fall, you'll have flare-ups, maybe. Maybe not. But according to what a lot of people say, you probably will. We'll be able to put them out. You may have some flare-ups next year, but eventually it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. You know, there are some viruses and flus that came and they went for a vaccine. They never found the vaccine, and they've disappeared. They've never shown up again. They die, too, like everything else. They die, too.
Holy your strategy for dealing with coronavirus is eventually everything dies?
Look, I'm no political scientist, but I'm guessing killing voters in an election year is going to be awkward at best. But Trump has a plan for that. A senior official predicted Trump will soon begin publicly questioning the death toll as it closes in on his predictions for the final death count and damages him politically. So he's going to question whether the deaths actually happened. He's gone from being a birther to a deather. And if there was any justice, he'd be a lifer. And denying the deaths of Americans is next level cruel. It's also not going to work. They'll be gone. People will notice. What's he going to do?
Billy, sit down. I need you to be a strong little soldier because I have some bad news about your grandpa. He was never real. All your memories of him were implanted. Now take this red pill. It's Adderall, and it's fantastic. You'll be able to drive a nail with your eyeball.
So, who's going to sell Trump's message of I don't see dead people? It's none other than Trump 2020 campaign manager and baby chick who just set the barn on fire, Brad Parscale. This morning, Parscale tweeted, "For nearly 3 years, we've been building a juggernaut campaign, Death Star. It is firing on all cylinders, data, digital, TV, political, surrogates, coalitions, etc. In a few days, we start pressing fire for the first time.
Rebel base in range.
You may fire when ready.
Commence primary ignition.
First of all, Brad, it's refreshingly honest of you to say you're the people in Star Wars that were designed after the Nazis. But have you seen the movie? Spoiler, it doesn't end great for the Death Star. And I'm going to go ahead and say that a deadly pandemic is maybe not the best time to associate yourself with something that kills the population of an entire planet. And if anything, Trump is the opposite of Darth Vader. He won't wear a mask, and I'm pretty sure his line would be...
Eric, I'm not your father.
But I have to admit, it would make a catchy new campaign shirt. Trump 2020, objectively bad with easily exploitable design flaws. Trump spent the weekend tweeting about how Barack Obama committed the biggest political crime in history. So one reporter asked the obvious question.
What crime exactly are you accusing President Obama of committing? And do you believe the Justice Department should prosecute him?
Obamagate. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected. And it's a disgrace that it happened. Some terrible things happened, and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again.
What is the crime exactly that you're accusing him of?
You know what the crime is. The crime is very obvious to everybody. All you have to do is read the newspapers, except yours.
It was a horrible crime. Everybody knows the crime. Crime committed against me. You don't have a clue. But if you look at the clues, it was Mr. Black in the conservatory with a lead pipe to Colonel Mustard Stain.
Trump also threw a hissy fit after getting challenged by two female reporters, then took his lack of balls and went home.
Go ahead, please.
Said many times that the U.S. is doing far better than any other country when it comes to testing.
Yes.
Why does that matter? Why is this a global competition to you if everyday Americans are still losing their lives and we're still seeing more cases every day?
Well, they're losing their lives everywhere in the world. And maybe that's a question you should ask China. Don't ask me. Ask China that question, okay? When you ask them that question, you may get a very unusual answer. Yes, behind you, please.
Sir, why are you saying that to me specifically?
I'm telling you, I'm not saying it specifically to anybody. I'm saying it to anybody that would ask a nasty question like that.
That's not a nasty question.
Please go ahead.
Why does it matter?
Okay, anybody else? Please, go ahead in the back, please.
I have two questions.
No, it's okay.
But you pointed to me. I have two questions, Mr. President.
Next, please.
But you called on me.
I did, and you didn't respond, and now I'm calling on...
Sorry, I just
the young lady in the back, please.
I just wanted to let my colleague finish,
okay.
But can I ask you
ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the song from
Lucinda
Williams,
Sweden Mason, Noradian Chaudhry, Matt Saywood, Joe Gilmore, Golden Earring,
thanks to
Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Cartman, Richard Nixon, Anthony Fauci, Steve Schmidt, J.L. Corvin, Brian
Williams,
Stephen Colbert, Chuck Todd, Kevin Hassett, Peter Alexander, Kaylee McEnany, Seth Myers, Will Huff, Tarkin, Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, Han
solo.
Philip, Rucker, Wajia, Jiang, Caitlin, Collins.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Where do you go? Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald.
Drunk.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down. Jack or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make-believe in Donald.
Drunk.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
I learned a lot from Richard Nixon.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie. I'm sorry.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Won't you spare me over till another year? Well, what is this that I can't see with ice cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death, none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, someone would pray, could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed, the preacher preached, time and mercy is out of your reach. I'll fix your feet till you can't walk. I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see this very hour. Come and go with me. Death, I come to take the soul. Leave the body and leave it cold. To drop the flesh off of the frame, the earth and worm both have a claim. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? My mother came to my bed, placed a cold towel upon my head. My head is warm, my feet are cold, death is a-moving upon my soul. Oh, death, how you treating me? You close my eyes so I can't see. Well, you're hurting my body. You make me cold. You run my life right out of my soul. Oh, death, please consider my age. Please don't take me at this stage. My wealth is all at your command. If you will move your icy hands. Oh, the young, the rich or poor, all like me, you know. No wealth, no land, no silver, no gold. Nothing satisfies me but your soul. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year?
And we begin tonight with a disturbing milestone in this coronavirus pandemic. The death toll in this country surpassing 20,000.
Do you take any responsibility for these 50,000 deaths that have happened in this country?
I think we've done a great job. Minimal numbers, we're going to be 100,000 people, and we're going to be hopefully far below that.
We've now surpassed 1 million coronavirus cases and 60,000 deaths in the span of about 2 months.
Yeah, we've lost a lot of people, but if you look at what original projections were, 2.2 million, we're probably heading to 60,000.
The COVID-19 pandemic has now claimed more than 70,000 lives in the United States.
We have met the moment, and we have prevailed. Americans do whatever it takes to find solutions, pioneer breakthroughs, and harness the energies we need to achieve a total victory.
As the president was speaking, the number of dead in the U.S. passed the 80,000 mark.
91,000 people have died in America in just a matter of months because of a pandemic that the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, could have done something about had he acted swiftly and embraced the truth, embraced science.
There are 93,000 people that have died from the virus. Thousands more undoubtedly will follow. 36 million people are unemployed, and the unemployment rate is approaching Great Depression levels. And from the beginning, Donald Trump has floundered and shown zero leadership. Back in January, he said he trusts China on the virus and said the U.S. has it totally under control. In February, he said that within a couple of days, case numbers were going to be down close to zero. Later that same month, he said it's going to disappear. One day, like a miracle, it will disappear. Well, there have been no miracles, just mass unemployment and mass death on Donald Trump's watch. And now he's very much on the wrong side of public opinion concerning how we protect ourselves from the virus going forward. A new poll finds that 83% of Americans are concerned lifting restrictions in their area will lead to additional coronavirus infections. But the president has decided to throw in totally with a vanguard of right-wing activists and tell the American public, including people in nursing homes and immunocompromised and people over 70, that they are warriors, his words, warriors on a battlefield and need to be willing to get back out there and potentially die for the cause.
The most widely cited coronavirus model now predicts 147,000 U.S. deaths by August. That is horrible, but at least we know what the song of the summer is going to be. Keep in mind that 1 month ago, the same study predicted 60,000 deaths by early August. So they're now predicting more than twice as many fatalities, or as Trump calls it,
we have met the moment and we have prevailed.
We won, and to celebrate, I'm giving every American a big marble trophy with their name on it and the year they were born.
It's not like he doesn't know how dangerous reopening the country too quickly is. A leaked White House Coronavirus Task Force report shows infections spiking more than 1,000% in some rural areas. If those numbers sound bad, it's because they are. According to Johns Hopkins, the United States has the most confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the world.
When we have a lot of cases, I don't look at that as a bad thing. I look at that as, in a certain respect, as being a good thing, because it means our testing is much better. So if we were testing 1 million people instead of 14 million people, we would have far few cases, right? So I view it as a badge of honor. Really, it's a badge of honor. It's a great tribute to the testing and all of the work that a lot of professionals have done.
It's not a badge of honor. The United States of America has about 4% of the world's population. And we have almost 30% of the world's deaths. I'm not talking about how many tests are being done. I'm talking about how many body bags there are, how many families, something this president cannot acknowledge. The loss of families and friends of almost 100,000 Americans.
It's a tremendous white MAGA hat day. This is like the best day. I told you the country was going to reopen. I said it was going to reopen. And a lot of you said, no, it's happening, okay? We are partially reopening Mar-a-Lago, my great property in Florida, thanks to the great leadership, by the way, of a very talented
Governor Ron DeSantis. We love this guy. He's doing great things. And so we're reopening it partially. Whites only is going to be the partial reopen, okay? And it's okay. It's not, excuse me. No. You're asking a nasty question. Racist? Is that a race? It's not a racist policy. I'm the least racist person in this room for sure, because some of you have said some very nasty things about great blacks like Candace Owens and Angry Hootie, the sheriff from Wisconsin. That's what we call him, Angry Hootie. You've said nasty things about these great blacks just because they support me and like hate their own people. And that's okay. They're allowed to. It's like the N-word. Whites can't say it. But if the blacks hate each other, you can't do anything about it. It's just like, it's like the rap albums, okay? But Mar-a-Lago is open, partially, for health. We're not letting the groups that are getting, like, sicker in at first. It's a total, you say, listen to the doctors. Sir, you should listen to the doctors. Listen to Fauci and Birx with their scarves. But now we're listening. And they say these communities of color, you heard this phrase? They're getting affected more, so we're asking them nicely. We're doing it very nicely. Mike, didn't I say, I said to that Mexican man to get the hell off of my Mar-a-Lago property, please. I said, please. Mike knows. I said, please. Not to you. I won't say please to you. You're nasty. But we're reopening it. Mexican and black staff can come. They have to maintain 60 feet social distancing. But that was always the policy at Mar-a-Lago. So nothing's changed there. So it's not racist. It's called a celebration. White MAGA hat. Mar-a-Lago. Partial reopen.
This week saw Congress hear testimony from Rick Bright, ousted top vaccine official turned whistleblower, who described missed opportunities such as this moment in January when a manufacturer of PPE tried to sound an alarm.
I'll never forget the emails I received from Mike Bowen and indicating that our mask supply, our N95 respirator supply, was completely decimated. And he said, we're in deep. The world is. And we need to act.
Yeah, it seems that's what congressional testimony is now. Just career public health officials saying, on the record, You know, it feels like as time goes on, we're about to find out more clear warning signs that the Trump administration just flat out ignored. I'm assuming we'll eventually learn that Trump was personally delivered a report in January titled, What to Expect When You're Expecting the Coronavirus to Kill 80,000 Americans in 4 months.
54% of Americans continue to say the U.S. government is doing a poor job preventing the spread of COVID-19, and only 36% say they consider Trump a trusted source of information about the outbreak. Wow, that is shocking. I mean, how could you not trust the guy who said heat would kill the coronavirus, that cases would go down to zero, that it would go away in April, that a vaccine would come out soon, that hydroxychloroquine could be a gift from heaven, and that it could be cured by eating Lysol wipes out of a salad bowl with a fork and a knife? And for a little flavor, throw in some croutons and some balsamic disinfectant. One of the most frustrating parts of this pandemic has been watching countries around the world, from Australia to Iceland to Taiwan to New Zealand, successfully suppress their outbreaks with competent leadership and slowly begin to safely reopen their economies. Meanwhile, we have a president who won't even wear a mask at a mask distribution facility while surrounded by people wearing masks. Oh, sure. When he was trying to get everyone excited about coal, he happily put on a miner's helmet. And not only have many countries suppressed their outbreaks, they've also avoided the worst-case economic scenarios. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., we now account for 30% of the world's cases, despite having less than 5% of the world's population. 36 million people are out of work. We have the highest unemployment rate since the Great Depression. And last week, the Fed reported that a staggering 40% of households making $40,000 or less lost their jobs in March. Or, as the president put it last week,
we have met the moment, and we have prevailed.
Mr. President, you said in your comments earlier, we have met the moment, we have prevailed. To you, sir, is the mission accomplished, even with 1.4
million? No, we prevailed on testing is what I'm referring to. That was with regard to testing.
Sorry, I read that wrong. I didn't mean to say prevailed. I meant to say pre-failed. We failed before we even knew what we were failing at. That's vision.
You can't make a big statement like, we've prevailed, then say it's just on testing. It's like if George W. Bush's infamous banner had an asterisk that said, mission accomplished, specifically the mission of printing and hanging this banner. Also, we have not prevailed on testing. I mean, it's good. that we're ramping up testing now, but we needed it 3 months ago. Bragging about testing now is like showing up to a house that already burnt down and offering to water the grass. Other countries are putting in place rigorous programs of testing, contact tracing, and isolating cases, and that's why they've been able to slowly reopen and avoid the worst. We've fallen behind not just countries like South Korea, Australia, and Germany, but others you might not expect.
This is what the graph looks like for the U.S. You see a sharp rise in cases. It hasn't really tapered off yet, right? It's trending down. But to put that in context, that curve you see there, here's how some other places are doing. The first group is the countries that appear to have successfully suppressed transmission of the disease. That curve has come all the way down so that they are barely registering any new cases. We have Andorra, Australia, Austria, Bhutan, Cambodia, China, Croatia, Cuba, Djibouti, Estonia, Greece, Iceland, Jamaica, Jordan, Kosovo, Latvia, Lebanon, Liechtenstein, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Mauritius, Monaco, Montenegro, New Zealand, Slovakia, Slovenia, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, Tunisia, and finally Vietnam.
We are back, Mr. President. I want to thank you for respecting recommended CDC guidelines and wearing a mask. Oh, that's just your face. Let's discuss the unfortunate matter at hand, the global crisis that is devastating countless American lives, wreaking economic havoc, the reason that we have all been forced to take shelter in our homes. Obamagate. What is that?
It was the greatest political crime in the history of our country.
Some of your harshest critics say that these attacks on the former president and your recent Twitter tantrums are meant to distract from your failed coronavirus response.
We're of the assumption that by the end of the year, we're going to have a vaccine.
Ooh, could you hold off on that just a little longer? It's going to take me a while to lose all the quarantine weight.
Look, the less successful we are in opening, the better they are probably, maybe, for an election. But I'm letting people know, in many cases, they're doing it just for...
A global pandemic. Sounds like some fictional Steven Soderbergh bullshit from 2011, right? Believe it or not, it's a real thing. People are suffering. Millions are out of work. The economy has evaporated. And worst of all, I haven't had a haircut in more than 2 months. So how does an unprepared reality TV host pretending to be the president deal with such an unprecedented crisis? I can tell you in one word.
This was all Obama.
Distraction. Distraction.
This was all Biden.
Distraction.
Distraction.
And we caught them.
Distraction. La 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 la. La 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 la. How he tries to occupy your mind. To perplex you. He deflects to any shiny object he can find.
They wanted Hillary Clinton to win.
So many people fighting for their lives or scared to lose their jobs and stuck inside their houses. Thousands of people dying on your watch. And who is it you're thinking of?
Obama?
Obama! Obama!
That's the enemy of the people.
Distraction! Obama! Obama!
It is a disgrace.
Distraction!
We've done more testing than all of the countries in the world.
Anyone who wants can get a test, he shouts. A proper test, a perfect test. Where the hell are all these perfect tests, he touts. There's only one thing on his freaking mind.
Sleepy Joe Biden.
Election, election.
I'm getting really good poll numbers.
Distraction, deception, deception.
Over 10 million tests.
In action.
They've never gotten over losing to me.
We hope that you might lead us with some dignity and tact. We thought you'd somehow grow from this, but girl, you're petty. Confusion, digression, delusion.
Make America great again, right?
Recession. Election. Inaction. Infection.
Nancy Pelosi's a disaster.
Distraction.
Obamagate.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
He tries his best to baffle as he stupefies and stalls. How long till he just starts posting pictures of his balls?
Boom.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Everybody disagreed when I did that.
Disgusting.
look, there were a number of questions raised by the actions of the Obama administration.
Destruction.
This was all Obama.
So many people fighting for their lives, were threatened, their jobs were stolen, their houses, thousands of people died on their watch. Now COVID is our
is a disgrace, what's happened.
Destruction!
Obamagate.
Hydroxychloroquine. It's typically used to treat malaria and lupus, and he's taking it prophylactically. The only time he's actually used a prophylactic.
And a lot of good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out. I happen to be taking it. I'm taking hydroxychloroquine.
Right now.
A couple of weeks ago, I started taking it. Because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories.
Can you explain, sir, though, what is the evidence that it has a preventative effect?
Here we go. You ready? Here's my evidence. I get a lot of positive calls about it.
I'm really having a hard time wrapping my head around this and how psychotic it is. I mean, look, Trump's gonna say and do crazy. He failed in the pandemic response, and unemployment is at its highest point in 100 years. So now he's spraying ink in the water so we can dart under a rock before the press can figure out what happened.
The FDA specifically cautions against the use of hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19, in part because of side effects ranging from cardiac arrhythmias to increased risk of death. Look, I don't care how you feel politically. We have to protect the president of the United States. There's just no way to dismiss the seriousness of death.
Death is death.
I stand corrected. Now, the medical community responded to the news with a what? One clinical pharmacologist said of the president's hydroxychloroquine regimen, that seems to be a crazy thing to do.
Oh, really, doctor? Well, I'll have you know, crazy is my middle horse.
One of the reasons health professionals were especially concerned is because Trump would appear to be part of the cohort most at risk, as he has a common heart disease. Yes, he doesn't have one.
Beautiful. What a nickel.
It's empty. The tinsmith forgot to give me a heart.
No heart?
No heart. All hollow. When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kinda human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me a balcony above a boy sings low.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I hear a beat. How sweet, just to register emotion, jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I could stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper, if I only had a heart.
Despite a statement by the White House doctor, some people are speculating the president might be lying.
Let me assure you, the president of the United States is not taking hydroxychloroquine.
This president doesn't tell the truth. He may be taking this, he may not.
Or option C, his doctors decided it was just easier to let him think he's taking it.
Every morning I push back Spider-Man's head and a little hydroxychloroquine comes out. Right now they're blue, but next week's prescription is orange.
But if that's true, hydroxychloroquine is just part of a long-standing policy of ingesting whatever product he endorses. It wasn't just doctors who were shocked at Trump self-medicating. We also heard from Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
Madam Speaker, what's your reaction to the president saying that he is now taking hydroxychloroquine? Are you concerned?
He's our president, and I would rather he not be taking something that has not been approved by the scientist, especially in his age group and in his, shall we say, weight group, what is morbidly obese, they say.
Oh, that is a very polite way to say a mean thing. I'm concerned about the president because he is, shall we say, 20 pounds of pudding in a 10-pound sack. What I'm saying is your president is so fat that when he sits around the White House, he, and shall I put this diplomatically, sits around the White House, which is a very, very large building indeed. And it's important to point out that fat shaming is wrong. Plenty of wonderful people are old and fat and beloved, like Santa. But guess what? Santa shouldn't take hydroxychloroquine either. But if Trump really is taking hydroxychloroquine, he might not only be endangering himself, because Trump's got legions of followers eager to jump on the hydroxychloro wagon. So yesterday, Fox News' Neil Cavuto gave him this stern warning.
If you are in a risky population here and you are taking this as a preventative treatment, it will kill you. I cannot stress enough. This will kill you.
No, Neil, bad. I cannot stress this enough. Fox anchors have to back up everything Trump says or else. Now, Trump wasn't about to take this slight from Neil lying down, although he was almost certainly lying down when he retweeted half a dozen Twitter posts attacking Cavuto, calling him an idiot, foolish, gullible, and an ass. There you have it. Trying to keep elderly people alive now makes you an idiot in Trump's book. Trump is still trying to find someone he can blame his poor response to the pandemic on. So far, he's narrowed it down to China, Obama, and anyone not named Donald Trump.
I know, I'll blame it on the dog. What do you mean I don't have a dog? Then who pooped on the rug?
Last night, Trump lashed out at one of his favorite blame targets, threatening in a letter to the Director General of the World Health Organization that he would permanently end all funding to the organization if it did not commit to substantive improvements. No surprise there. The WHO combines everything Trump hates: the world, health, and organization. Trump's real target is China and their handling of the coronavirus. That's why his letter includes this little tidbit.
On January 28th, 2020, after meeting with President Xi in Beijing, you praised the Chinese government for its transparency with respect to coronavirus.
Yeah, and I seem to remember one member of the WHO on January 24th really going over the top with their praise of China.
China has been working very hard to contain the coronavirus. The United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency. It will all work out well. In particular, on behalf of the American people, I want to thank President Xi.
Well, that tweet hasn't aged very well. Trump feels the WHO is too close to China, so he's cutting off their funding. China had another idea, because also yesterday, President Xi Jinping offered to provide $2 billion in the fight against the pandemic and called on other nations to increase their contributions to the WHO. Take that, China! Trump just made you the world leader in fighting this pandemic. He's got you right where you want you.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.